Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, let's go to our Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, drivers who switch and save with Progressive saves nearly $700 on average. Call or click today to find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All right, Mike Rutherford joins us from Big X Radio and also Cards Chronicle. I want to make sure I get that website right, Mike. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
CardChronicle.com is the where you're at. Covering college basketball, not only the basketball, but Louisville as well. We've had you on before, and I'm really glad you're back on to talk some college hoops with us. I'm going to ask you the big picture question just to get your idea, because this is one that's been tossed about this weekend. So over the last number of years, we keep seeing more and more of these upsets. We now get the second 16 over a 1. We've now had 11 15s over 2s, and a lot of them have come over the last 10, 11, 12 years or so. Is there a theory behind it that works for you? Is there a reason why this has been happening when it didn't happen in the 90s and in the early 2000s?
I think the only thing that I can think of is, one, you've got players everywhere. I think you've got more players playing the game than ever before and more guys who can play it at a high level. It's easier for coaches also to find great sets. If there's something you can steal from somebody else, you can find it on YouTube very quickly now. I think that's helped the game out. And then I think, too, the other big thing is just everybody leaving now early. Players don't stay in programs for 3-4 years. It makes the biggest names in the sport, as good as they are, more susceptible to being upset in the first round. You don't have maybe that cohesiveness that you used to have with teams staying together, maturing together, classes coming in and playing 4 seasons there. That's all I can really think of. I think you've got more parity in college basketball now than ever before because it's easier to be good at a lower level than it was 10, 15 years ago. And because the better teams just aren't as strong as they used to be.
All right, let's talk about the games that we got in the Sweet 16 matchup and how these teams got there. Let's talk about Michigan State. How are the Spartans here? What kind of, we get Tom Izzo, and I love him, and I know he's been in this tournament for a long, long time. But how did he pull this off against a team like Marquette, which was a lot of people's darling, including myself?
Well, I think he pulled it off because he got a pretty attractive draw. I know that a lot of people liked Marquette, the way they were playing coming into the tournament. But one of the crazy stats in the NCAA tournament is teams that typically didn't have a whole lot of preseason expectations and overachieved dramatically, they tend to kind of fall flat on their face in the tournament. I think Marquette is the 22nd 2 seed to be unranked preseason and be top 10 going into the tournament. And out of those 22 teams, 15 of them have not made it out of the first weekend. So they kind of, I don't want to say frauds, they had a great season, but a lot of times those teams, like Purdue kind of as well, who didn't have a whole lot of preseason expectations, they come back down to earth when the big dance rolls around. And this is sort of Tom Izzo's spot. I mean, he's the best coach in the history of college basketball when it comes to pulling NCAA upsets. Nobody's done it more. It's the 16th time that he's won a game as a lower seed in this last round. And it's also the 9th time that he's beaten a 2 seed as a lower seed, which is also the most in college basketball history. I think that they didn't do anything spectacular, but Tyson Walker is a guy that they need to get going. He played well. Joey Hauser shot it well. When those two things happen, I think they can be a really good team. And, I mean, Izzo and March is a cliche for a reason. This guy's been doing it for a long time, and I think that's the biggest reason why you're seeing them in the Sweet 16.
Tennessee, Zakai Ziegler is out. And I live in Nashville, and Vol Nation was ready to have a heart attack because it looked like this was going to be a special season. It looked like all things were great, and then he goes down. They sort of stumble a bit into the tournament. Not bad, but it was enough where you notice that he wasn't there. And also there's this sort of lovish feeling with this back and forth with Rick Barnes where it's like we like him as a coach, but sometimes he doesn't live up to the expectation of the tournament. But boy, did they ever. They suffocated Duke to advance to the Sweet 16. How did that reset button work for Barnes and Tennessee in the last 2 games?
I don't know. I mean, I would count me in as somebody who coming into this tournament thought Tennessee was dead to rights. They had not been playing particularly well. They don't have Ziegler. It's a team that could not find ways to score well enough for me to really like them. I did think that I liked the draw that they got in the East region. There's not a whole lot of competition there. Louisiana, I didn't think it was going to be much of a match for them, but I did buy into a little bit of the Duke hype, them playing so well. And then for Tennessee to not just beat Duke, but to hold them to their lowest point total in the history of the NCAA tournament is certainly something. I love the quote from the players talking about dragging teams down to the mud with them and all this stuff. I think it's great. I think that's the way that, that has to be their identity. That has to be what they live, how they live and die. and they did it really effectively. Now, I do think, you know, if they lose to FAU in the Sweet 16, all that Rick Barnes talk that you're mentioning comes right back up.
For sure does.
But I like their chances of at least winning one more in this tournament.
I don't know if the numbers prove this or not. This is just a feeling I have, so I'd have to really do some research. But do you think Gonzaga is in a better spot now at 3 rather than all the years where they were not only 1, but they were like an unbeaten 1 year, and they were one of the top teams? Is 3 a good spot to be in a tournament where maybe the focus is on somebody else and maybe we can actually get the job done at this position?
Yeah, I kind of think so. I do think, though, now, though, with them going to the Sweet 16, that's becoming more of a talking point nationally, and that kind of goes away. I think you're seeing a lot of people who are like, you know, could this be the year when they're kind of under the radar? And it's like, they're not really under the radar anymore because everybody's saying the same thing at this point. They'll have a tough matchup with UCLA, but maybe it helped them in their first two games. They struggled a little bit out of the gate against Grand Canyon and then played real well last night, I thought, coming back and beating a good TCU team, which kind of gave a similar effort last year in that same spot against Arizona. I think the big thing that they have going for them in this matchup with UCLA is Dembona has been injured. The big man for UCLA is playing with an injured shoulder. That could be an opportunity for Drew Timmy to feast. They are undersized a little bit, the Bruins are. Timmy's been very good in the NCAA tournament. I think that that's a decent matchup for them. They're going to have to be better than they were in those first two rounds. But I do like the notion of them, you know, not having this target on the back, not having everybody talking about, are they finally going to do it? Maybe that looseness has allowed them to play a little bit more freely since the first two rounds.
There was a team we were just kind of admitting this morning some of our hits and misses, and I swung and missed on this one big time. I just didn't believe in Miami going into this. I thought Drake could pull off the upset, but they do have the ACC player in the year and Isaiah Wong. They have a Jordan Miller kid who's fantastic. How dangerous is Jim Mareleg? Got those Hurricanes.
I think that they're very dangerous. I mean, I'm with you. If you watch that game, they probably should have lost to Drake.
I thought so, too.
The big thing with Miami coming into this tournament was their really only consistent post presence outside of Jordan Miller is Norshad Omir, who transferred in from Arkansas State. He was playing banged up. There was some concern that he may not play at all in their first-round game against Drake. And then he comes out last night against Indiana and has 17 rebounds, looks fully healthy. Wong is tremendous. Nigel Pack is tremendous. You know that they're always going to have great guards. The question for a long time has been, can they give you anything inside? They get 20 offensive rebounds last night against the Hoosiers. They rebound more than 50% of their misses in the second half. They look fantastic. They've got Jim Larrañaga, who I think is one of the most underrated coaches in the entire country. I mean, he's taken them to the Sweet 16 four times. They've been there 5 times in the history of the program. They will give Houston all they want in the Sweet 16 because Wong's that good, Larrañaga's that good. They sometimes struggle to defend, but they've been better than these first two rounds on that end of the floor. I like Miami a lot.
And Marcus Sasser, he kind of got some 4 fouls pretty quickly against Auburn, but he's still dealing with that groin injury. What is your assessment of Houston in the first two games of this tournament?
I mean, count me as somebody who was very concerned about that second round game just because, one, you're playing Auburn in Birmingham. Two, you know, Marcus Sasser has been, every time he tries to play, it seems like that groin is still bothering him. And then you've also got Jamal Sheed now dealing with an injury. Those are your two best natural scorers who are both banged up. Props to Jermon Mark, who stepped up and really, really delivered for them in that game. Not just because those two guys were hurt, but like you said, they both got 4 fouls with a lot of time on that clock. And Mark, they got him in ISO situations. He delivered. They've got 4 really capable scorers on that team. But if you don't have Sasser at full strength, if you don't have Sheed at full strength, I don't know if you win a national title. I like that they get a little bit of time to rest up. But I think we'll know one way or the other about Houston in this game against Miami, because if they are fully healthy, I think they should win. If they're not, I don't think that you can hang with Miami's guards. I'm basically saying I think if they beat Miami, they're also going to win in the Elite Eight. But if they're not fully healthy, I think the Hurricanes are probably going to advance. I still like Houston. It was a very, very gutsy win over Auburn in that game in Birmingham.
Mike Rutherford Show on Big X Sports Radio, manager of CardChronicle.com. Thank you for joining us, my friend. Always appreciate it. Hope to catch up with you soon, my man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Mike Rutherford again, talking some college hoops. Yeah, It's, you know, again, you get a couple of days now to really analyze these games and what you got, what you saw. The Houston thing is still concerning with Sasser. And that is, listen, but they got two more games and then they get to play at home. And if Kelvin Samskins can somehow weave something out of that, groin injuries are tough because you're not going to go to bed and wake up and it's just going to be better. It's going to linger. It really needs time to heal. But if you can squeeze it out, if you can just go, look, we just got to get through this, and we can get through this with two games. It's going to be tough because he's got Miami coming up on Friday, that game in Kansas City. And like you said, I didn't believe in Miami, and I should have. They've got really solid players. I just thought Drake would be a little bit of a challenge for them with their shooters, Tucker DeVries, and then especially the way they play. They're got some pretty good guards, and guard play seems to work in the tournament. But Miami really proved me wrong.